Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Once again, welcome all to the house of the Lord. And welcome all of you joining us right now online. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. We are located in Randallstown, Maryland. And I'll just speak on behalf of myself right now. It is a joy to show up in the house of God and there's snow all around. That puts me in a happy place. That's my, and to everyone their own, right? To each their own. But I bless the name of the Lord. I'm sorry for the rest of you that might be a little bit miserable or might not like it. Well, just let me enjoy the snow while I can, all right? Pretty soon it'll be gone. Anyhow, you won't have to deal with it for a whole lot longer. Praise God. Amen, amen. Amen. I hope you guys aren't frozen right now. We need to be on fire for the Lord now. Even if it means turn on the heat a little bit higher. Amen. Let's get started right away. Lord, we bless your holy name. And Lord, we love you so very much. Lord, we exalt you and we praise you. You are worthy, Lord, of our praises and our adoration. We love you, Lord, with all of our hearts. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the four seasons. Thank you, Lord, that we have snow this year. And I thank you, Lord, for everyone who has traveled and are here now. And also everyone, Lord, who is watching right now at this very moment. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to them as well, just as much as you speak with us here, Lord, in your house. I pray, Lord, as we study your word tonight, may the Holy Spirit open the mind of all the hearers and all the listeners and everyone who's watching. Your name, Lord, will be glorified, not just now, but forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise God. So what's today? Wednesday. Well, now, hold on a minute. Wait a minute. You guys are going to have to get all new t-shirts made now. Oh, no, wait a minute. Hold on. Well, it somewhat still applies. All right? It's turning out to be somewhat the series now being titled The Battle of the Mind. The Battle of the Mind. I started sharing on this last week, and I preached on Romans chapter 12. And we're going to revisit Romans 12, the beginning of Romans 12, if you want to start making your way there now. We're going to be talking about here in the next few weeks, potentially, or as long as the Lord has me preach about it, different obstacles, different scenarios, different situations that we face every single day, and sometimes, at times, we might not know how to handle certain situations. We're going to learn such things as who you are in Christ, how to identify an issue, how to fight a particular issue, how to approach different situations. We could be talking about depression in these series. We could be talking about anger, about mental addiction, and everything else. And all these things, I should say, that deals with the mind and also your spirit and also your soul and all these things and having the mind of Christ and all that entails. Amen? Amen. We're going to read once again Romans chapter 12, the first two verses. And it reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen?
Amen.
I don't want to bring up what was spoken last week, last Wednesday. If in case you're here today and you weren't here last week, or you're just watching this right now, I highly encourage you to rewatch last Wednesday's message. As a matter of fact, I am guilty of that. I just rewatched the majority of the message from last Wednesday night. So I'll just leave it at that. You're welcome to go back. I believe it was the 7th. Anyhow. So rewatch that Wednesday night service so that way you're all caught up leading on to today. Amen. I want to start out by saying this. The reason why a believer is to be transformed is one that has extreme significance. Please understand that. I'm starting this message here tonight, this teaching here tonight, somewhat emphasizing this. It is very, very, very important that you are transformed. It is impossible for you to live the same lifestyle as you once used to have before you've come to know the Lord Jesus. It's impossible. It is absolutely impossible. When someone gives their life to Jesus, the Lord transforms that person. The Lord changes that person. Changes what? What does it change? Well, I won't have you overthink this. I'll just go ahead and give you the answer. He changes everything. Who in here was going to say everything? Okay, well, thank you for your honesty. Maybe you might have said, he changes the way I think. Well, okay, all right, it goes along with what we're talking about. Sure. But he also changes your appearance. He changes the way you talk, the way you walk. He even changes your hairstyle. Right? He changes every single thing. You are a new creation. Now, someone is going to argue with me as far as that statement is concerned, and that's okay. You know, so I've given my life to Jesus. Does it mean that I have to change the way that I dress? What is wrong with the way that I dress? Hey, we don't need to get into that debate. You know, as long as you aren't being a bad witness, if you're not, you know, portraying the wrong message. The Word of God here, as we read here in verse 2, it says that a believer must prove the will of God. Do you notice that? Is it the verse still up? Verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And here's the reason why we need to be transformed, that we need to be renewed in our mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, now, so are you saying right now, Pastor Teddy, that every single one of us must prove the will of God? Yes. Just so you could understand me a little bit better, I'm going to put it this way. It's non-negotiable. And I say that with confidence. The word prove means to find and to follow. To follow the will of God. But you cannot follow the will of God if you do not find or cannot find the will of God. Let me see if I can say this word. Proof. It is the word dokimazo. Dokimazo. It almost, well, yeah, dokimazo. It means this, to find and to follow. Now, tell me one thing. If you cannot find, if you cannot discover the perfect will of God, there is a problem with that. There is a problem. A lot of people rely on someone else to find out what the will of God is. For example, they might rely on a prophet. And I'm not talking bad or down, okay? They might rely on a particular minister. They might rely on whomever. Whoever you think has a close relationship with God. I'm here to say today that every single one of us are able to find out the perfect will of God over your life. We're starting like that this evening. And I personally believe that a lot of us today have become, one of the ways that we have become spiritually lethargic is to heavily rely on someone else instead of us being able to prove what the will of God is for us. And I say that with love. And this is something that I will try to stir up in us here. This is something that I have heard, I'd say for the past 6 months, between certain preachers and ministers that I follow who are trying to stimulate the church to be able to hear closer from God, to have a closer relationship with God. You are able to find out, to prove what God's perfect will is, as it states in the Word of God. Now, how do we do that? We do that when your mind is renewed. Amen. We do that when your focus is, let me rephrase that. We know what God's will is when your mind is so renewed to the point that it is laser focused on God. I hope I said that right. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It starts with your mind. You see, how can someone ever find or discover or know the will of God if their mind is not with God? The Word of God, the Lord Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all of what? Your mind." You're going to love the Lord with everything that you have. How can a person ever follow or obey the will of God if their mind is not in it? The only conceivable way a person can ever find, can ever follow God's perfect will, is to focus and keep his or her mind on God and the things of God. Amen? The things of the Lord. If you only think about God on church days or church nights, there might be a problem there. I could understand why you might never be able to know what God's perfect plan is for your life. If the only time you think about God is on a Sunday, or on a Wednesday night, or on a Tuesday morning, if in case your church happens to have a Tuesday morning service, or any of the above. Now, I'd like for you to notice how, actually, as a matter of fact, I'll get to that in just a bit. I want you to notice how God's will is described right now for every single one of us. We're going to stay right here. We're going to park it right here for a moment in Romans chapter 12. This is what God's will is said to be. Are you ready? In Romans chapter 12. It says that God's will is good. This is the word agathon. What does good mean as far as God's will over your life? It means this: beneficial. You will benefit. So you can prove what you can benefit from. Besides beneficial, you might like this good word. Rich. You want to prove God whether or not He can bless you financially? You might like even better the next word, which is bountiful. So here you go. Beneficial, rich, bountiful, suitable, and then moral. You're going to have good morals. The things that you will benefit from will be pure, will be morally pure. They're going to be well. Amen? So, God's will, number one for you, is for you to prove that which is good, that which is acceptable. I'm not going to try to pronounce that word. But this is the meaning behind that. Pleasing. God's will for you. Satisfactory. Another one. Welcomed. This is what acceptable mean. And finally, check out God's will for all of us, for what you need to find out on your own, not through somebody else. Perfect. These are all God's will for the believer that you need to discover on your own. Perfect. It is, I think I can say this word, it is teleion. Are you ready for the definition? Teleion. Here we go. Without error or mistake. Flawless. Complete. Absolute. Then I like this one. Free from any need. Perfect, right? Short of nothing. And finally, completely fulfilled. Perfect. This is the word teleion. How do you like God's will right now over your life? That's pretty awesome, I'd say. And it would be even more awesomer, if that's even a word, when you discover all these things on your own, as the Bible tells you to prove it. That we ought to prove it, but we can't if you don't have your mind renewed. You see the importance here. To summarize things here right now, victory over the world is gained by the believer's renewing of his or her mind. Even more so, I just renewed my mind today. All right, I look forward to renewing my mind tomorrow, and I look forward to renewing my mind the next day. Because I need to prove what the Lord has for me tomorrow. And I cannot wait to prove what the Lord has for me on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And you get the point, right? Because all these things, they regenerate. It's not just a one-time thing. It's constant. But what we have to understand is that the believer must remain focused, his or her mind focused upon God and upon the things of God. Your mind has to remain focused. Very practically speaking, the believer must do exactly what the Scripture tells them to do. You cannot do it your way. You have to do it God's way. You have to do it the believer's way. The Word of God is very clear of what we need to do. And if you follow those things, these are life-changing instructions that the Lord has given every single one of us. Amen? Amen? This is the only way. Excuse me. By reading my next verse right now that I'm getting ready to share, And after everything that I just finished saying right now, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 is going to make a lot of sense. A whole lot of sense. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says this, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble," listen to some of these words here, right? "Whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, what should we do? Meditate. Meditate on these things." Wow. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Look at the list of things that we just finished reading. And when we pair it side by side with Romans 12, verse 2, it's almost identical when it says good, acceptable, and perfect, and what they all mean. They go very much hand in hand right now with Philippians 4, 8. But then it says, think about it. Meditate on it. Consider it. Amen? Meditate on these things. What does meditate mean? What does it mean for you to meditate on these things? Very simple. It means for you to think on it. That's all. Occupy your mind with it. Think on or take account of. It is the Greek word logizomai. I'll go with that. Logizomai. Think on it. It's the middle voice. There's some codes in here. To estimate, figuratively. Okay. It means this. Conclude. Count of. Esteem. Impute. Reason. Reckon. Suppose. Think on. Specifically, think on. Meditate on it. This is what it means. And this is all that the Lord right now is telling us to do. When I said earlier that you must follow God's way, you must do it God's way, this is what the Lord is telling you to do. Are you able to have the Lord? When I say have the Lord in your heart all day long, I don't mean like in a religious type of way. Let me say it in a more practical sense. Do you think that you are capable of thinking about the Lord and all His goodness and all things that are virtuous all day long? Is that possible? That's a good question to ask, right? That's a good place to start. For you to think about the things of God instead of you thinking about your recent breakup. And how do I say it? What's that word I'm looking for? I'll say it this way. An obsessing over it. Consumed. That's what I'm looking for. Consumed by how your mechanic just took advantage of you, took all your money, and then fixed the problem right. Oh, I'm going to get him back. And you're just like, punk, how am I going to get back? You're plotting vengeance against someone who did you wrong. Whether it's a mechanic, a plumber, an ex, your boss, your coworker, a family member. Like, you know how these things consume you? They enrage you and you think about these things and you just try to. I'm just using random examples here. How about thinking about the things of God all day long? This is where we can start. As a matter of fact, if in case this might be too much to ask, I think you're going to like Proverbs chapter 16. I like to have Proverbs 16, verse 3. This is going to make a lot of sense to us here. It says this, "Commit your works to the Lord," right? "And your thoughts will be established." Is that better? If in case it is very difficult for you to think about God all day long, well then, commit your works. Commit what you do. Here's a tip for all of you. You can put this in your back pocket. Do it as unto the Lord. Amen. Start with that. You know? In the 90s, when I was, I think, in high school, middle to late high school, there used to be a bracelet going around that had WWDJ, right? WWDJ? Or JD, yeah. WWJD, which stood for What Would Jesus Do? And the purpose of that is you would just look at the bracelet and, you know, you would translate those meanings, right? And then you would think about, all of a sudden, Jesus would come to your mind. You would think about the Lord. And basically, it was designed for you to get your mind around the fact of the Lord Jesus would approach this situation or do this manner if it was Him. I haven't seen those things in a while. But you can start out with that. In all that you do, consider Him. And the Bible says that He shall direct your path if you do that. Correct? Amen. Right? So, if you commit your works to the Lord, automatically your thoughts will be established. And this is what we are referring to right now. Let's go back to the New Testament. We're going to jump on 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, this is an order. This is an order for every single one of us to follow. You see, in order for us to be able to prove God's best, God's excellence, God's abundance, no lack whatsoever, all things excellent, you have to submit your thoughts unto the Lord. You have to. There's no two ways about it. None whatsoever. It is impossible for you to have communion and fellowship with God if you are not focused on the Lord. If you are not focused on God. Now I'm going to change gears right now in this part of this message, and we're going to conclude here in just a moment. You see, I want you to understand right now, and I'm going to try to say this in the most polite manner possible. It is not possible for you to fully serve God when your mind is distracted. It is not possible. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Are we all here? Yes. If you have something right now that is distracting you, that keeps your mind going and going, and you're worried about it, and you're stressing about it, and you're anxious about it, that will hinder you serving God. So right now, we are going beyond what you can prove as far as what God's perfect will is for your life. And let's say you cannot even do that. If you have troubles doing that, well, you're going to have trouble serving the Lord also if your mind is continuously stressed out. Why do you say that, Pastor? I say that on account of 1 Corinthians 7:35. And I'm also saying that on account of personal experience. Especially when I rededicated, freshly when I rededicated my life to the Lord. And the things I had to change, the things I had to face, to the person that I am today. You holding on to stress, you making decisions based upon stressful situations, that is going to impede you even serving the Lord with all of your heart. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 35 says this. The first part of the verse says, "And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper. And, here we go, that you may serve the Lord without what?" Without what? Distraction. Without distraction. What do you think the distraction here is? I'm telling you right now, it's not someone doing jumping jacks in front of you, keeping you from going inside of the church house. It's not someone tying you down, keeping you from serving the Lord. It has to do with cares of life. Thank you, Tom. It has to do with things that you allow in your life. The worries of life, the cares of life, as Tom says. The things that were designed to steal your peace, to steal your joy. The things that were designed to distract you, which is one of the things that the enemy is a master of, to derail you from your path, from your walk, from the things that God has set beforehand, before the earth was made, the things that God has made specifically for you to walk in, as Paul says. The enemy at his best tries to distract you. How? Mentally. That you may serve the Lord undistracted. As the Word of God puts it, without distraction. And this is why I say, you will not be able to perform your godly duties. You will not be able, you especially won't be able to prove the perfect will of God when you are mentally distracted with everything that's around you. If you even allow that to happen. I want to conclude this evening by reading Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. That says this, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because that individual trusts in you." Amen? If you trust in the Lord, he's not going to let you down. If you put your trust in God, and I truly mean this, all of your trust in the Lord, he's not going to let you down. This is stronger than a fortified city. This is stronger than whatever analogy that you want to bring in, a high tower. This is stronger than whatever. A stronghold, it does not matter. The Lord will keep you in perfect peace if you choose to have your mind stayed upon the Lord. Think on those things. As the Word of God says, meditate on those things, and God has the rest. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's conclude. Lord, we bless your holy name. Lord, we love you, and we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your instructions. And I pray, Lord, that the mind of every single person here, Lord, in this place right now, and who's watching right now online, may their minds be glued on you. All of us, Lord. May we always ponder on your gratefulness, how splendid you are, how wonderful and amazing the Lord is, how good you have been to us, Lord, all of our lives. And Lord, may we wait on you all the day long. May we prove, may we taste, may we see your perfect will being established in all of our lives. May we know, Lord, your perfect plan for us. Lord, we want to serve you. And we want to serve you, Lord, with zero distractions. And we thank you, Lord, that you lead the way every step of the way. Thank you, Lord, so much. We bless your holy name and we love you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Now let us continue to praise the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Let us bless the Lord for this offering. Father God, we thank you and bless you and praise you for being our provider. Provider with skills, provider with jobs, provider with a place to live, transportation, everything we need to survive in this world you've already given us. So Lord, we trust in you and we know that meditating on your word is a much better place for our mind to be than the distractions of the devil. So Lord, we praise you for this offering and what it will be used for. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your generosity, your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.